Okay, you ready? Okay, welcome to the Claytian flow. Fuck. Alright, welcome to the Smaytian ju-
Joe.
What is that?
Joe, it's written down.
What does that say?
Just read it out.
I don't understand what that says.
It's written right there.
Okay.
You just need to just read it out.
Welcome to the Claytian ju- It says Mo. It says Mo!
Joe, it doesn't.
What the fuck does that say?
It's written right there, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. You just need to read that out.
Hi there, guys, and welcome to the Katie and Joe... Fuck. Fucking thing sucks! What does that mean? What does that say right there?
There's nothing wrong with it. You just...
Fuck
just
it.
Look, just read it how it says.
Welcome to... Fucking thing! We'll do it live! Fuck it, Katie! We'll do it live!
The Katie and Joe Show! How's it going? What are we doing this week then? How are you, Joe?
I am good, Katie. How are you?
You're about to eat your delicious pizza, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got some pizza.
While we're recording, we're
really
so sloppy.
I really overcooked it.
It smells of burnt cheese in the flat. It's disgusting. You have no idea how to cook good pizza.
I cook brilliant pizza 90% of the time. It's just this one time.
Yeah, sure.
Pre-recording.
Excuses. So I thought we'd start off by letting our fans know what we've been up to.
Well, it's been a month.
It's been about 2 months, hasn't it?
Should we apologise? Do we literally not give a shit?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, guys. We've been away for how long?
A month. It is over a month since we did the last one.
About 6 weeks, I think.
5 weeks.
5 weeks.
5 weeks, I
That's
think.
Still too long. I'm sorry, guys. It's just I was off work with laryngitis and I lost my voice, which sucked.
It doesn't do well for podcasting.
It really doesn't, especially as you're working in a call centre as well. But one benefit of that is Joe learnt to lip read quite well.
I did. It was weird.
That was brilliant.
The best bit of it was when I took the piss, when I thought I knew you said something, like, yeah, you'd lip read, pass me the juice, and I'd be like. Flash me the coos. What the hell's a coos?
He'd be like, that's right, baby. I am sexy. Thank you. And then just not pass me the juice. You're exactly. Such a bastard.
Well, you weren't that thirsty.
I was ill. You should take care of me.
I do take care of you when you're ill. We've kind of got to normalise our speaking here. It's very difficult.
Let's move this forward a bit. Edit this out. Sorry. Okay.
Shall we do some auto tuning?
Go for it.
We'll sing something then.
Auto-tune on the Katie and Joe Show!
Brilliant.
I sound awesome on auto-tune.
You sound awesome anyway, baby.
I wish there was this gadget in real life that I could like attach to my voice so I'm always in auto-tune.
There is a iPhone thing.
Is it when you're on the phone?
It's called... No, I don't think it does.
Because that would be
good. I
think
you just hold it up to your face. It's called IMT Pain, but it only works on iTunes, and me and you are Android people. I found a similar app on...
iPhone, you mean?
Yeah, iPhone. I found a similar app on Android, but it means you have to have your headphones plugged in, which kind of ruins the point, because you want everybody to know that you're T-Paining it up.
That'd be a good idea, though, if someone made it possible so that you could like install an app that made you... like. Made your voice go into auto-tune while you're on the phone.
Well, I found this app that, you know...
Can you imagine, like, phoning your mum or something and forgetting to turn it off? She'd be so freaked out.
Good morning, mum!
Well, why would you be singing? You don't even know it's on.
But I think it's better if you're in the US. I found this... Joe, in the US, they have Google Voice. Do you know this? Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
It's, you know, it's an app... Well, it's a thing online that you can get where you can phone any... I think it originally started as any US landline is free. And then it's spiraled out to any US mobile is free. And for about 3 months it was available in the UK. And I was like asking my cousin who lives in New York for his mobile number and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking we could talk. But they discontinue in the US. I think there's copyright issues. But eventually it's going to come to the UK.
But what does it do?
It's just, you can just, it's a little app, it's like Skype, but for free, with no video or anything. But, you know, you can phone from your PC, and if you get the app on your smartphone, you can phone anybody for free. And it's why, even though, I mean, the iPhone in America has terrible reception, because I think it's only, I'm sure we might get some emails from the American listeners saying this is bullshit. I think it's only on AT&T, which apparently calls are dropped continuously. But people say it's all right because I've got Google Voice and shit, as long as you can get 3G around where you're going.
But it's only in the US.
Google Voice is only available in the US at the moment. There's been rumours about it coming to the UK. And as soon as it does, you can get worldwide free phone calls. That's the future. It's going to be pretty cool, right?
That is cool.
I mean, I already...
phoning your cousin in New York.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? Last week we had a Skype conversation with my cousin William, who lives in New York, and he was...
Hey, William, if you're listening.
If you're listening, you're a fan on Facebook. Should we talk about the fans on Facebook? Because we've got someone from India.
Yeah, a new fan from India. I want to... Did you speak to her?
Mm-mm.
I want to know where she found us.
I want to know where she found us.
We are on StumbleUpon, so maybe if we're getting a few hits on that, maybe we're getting some recognition.
Maybe it's just word of mouth.
Maybe.
Maybe we should
maybe
do more episodes.
Maybe we're just that good.
But, Katie, so yeah, what have you been doing this month?
What have we been doing? We've had a very lazy month.
Hasn't been that bloody lazy. Shit's been going down.
We've been doing a Simpsons marathon, just going from episode one, season one, all the way through. What are we on now? Season five?
Season five. If you're a fan of Simpsons, I really recommend you watch The Simpsons like that, because we're huge Simpsons fans. Mm. Like, huge. And we watch it all the time. I mean, I don't think a day goes by where we don't watch at least one Simpsons. But you kind of pick and choose the episodes you watch. If you're a Simpsons fan, I really recommend that you watch it from the first episode, because you really get to see the evolution of the characters. Like, we saw the first episode that had Superintendent Chalmers in.
Yeah.
And the first episode that Ralph was anything other than a background character with an occasional line, the first episode that Ralph became stupid. And it's really great to see these characters introduced. And if you're doing it like that, Katie brought a book back. What's the book?
Oh, it's like the episode guide to The Simpsons.
You got it when you were younger, didn't you?
Yeah, I got it for Christmas when I was younger. It's a really thick book. It's basically a guide to every single episode. It only goes up to season eight, though, because I was so young when I got it.
But it's got this little section.
But it's brilliant.
Of course, things that you might miss. And it's like little jokes that are in the background that you might miss. And we've been looking at the Wikipedia page for every episode that we've been watching.
So we don't miss a thing on the show.
And it's really, really interesting, because I love The Simpsons. And like a certain blog did I can't remember the name of the blog. I wish I could. It did a feature a couple of weeks ago, Classic Simpsons Week, and it had some writers. There was an episode called Sweet Seymour's Badass Song. And they showed the original pitch idea, the first draft of the script, which had a whole different storyline to it, and then the last script, and then obviously the script, the episode that we saw. And the four things that were featured on the blog were so different. And I read some of the jokes. It's like classic Simpsons jokes that we never got to see. I would love if some of the original writers would release more of these scripts and stuff. It was amazing to read.
Mm.
But it really got me to reminisce about classic Simpsons, about how Kelsey Grammer was only meant to be in for a couple of episodes.
Troy McClure.
Yeah, Troy McClure. I mean, that guy's obviously dead now, but the first time you hear him, guys, is, if you're a Simpsons fan, is the episode Bart gets hit by a car. The first time you ever hear that guy's voice is he is the voice of the escalator that's taking Bart to heaven that goes, "Do not spit over the side."
He immediately spits over the side.
Yeah, of course he does. Who wouldn't? And then, you know, Troy McClure's a huge character, and Troy McClure's brilliant.
I love little things like that, though. I love the evolution of the characters, by like the way they were drawn on the first episodes as well, like Smithers when he was black.
Yeah, he was apparently he was scanned in as Smithers we know him, but it came out black, so they just used it for that
one episode.
Yeah, and like Barney's hair.
Barney's hair was yellow.
Yeah, it just.
Moe's hair was black.
Yeah, very very weird. Watch The Simpsons from the start. Just do a marathon.
Because there's some of the newer episodes. There's not too many that I haven't seen, but there's some that I haven't seen, and I want to watch them like from the start to finish, just so I don't miss any of the references and stuff as well.
Exactly. Now, I kind of, not love, I know The Simpsons was classic when it was classic. I mean, everybody knows this. Like, episode, like season 2 to 12, I think, is generally accepted as the golden age of The Simpsons. But you just refuse to watch a lot of the new episodes. And I watch them.
Well, it's only because I feel like there might be references in there that I don't get, you know. I don't know, maybe The Simpsons has kind of lost its touch.
Definitely.
The golden era, because...
The episodes as a whole are incredibly shit. Incredibly shitter than the originals. But every now and again, there's a line or something that's brilliant.
It's like that one with the Sacha Baron Cohen in it. That was terrible.
That's my least favourite episode of all time.
That was really bad.
But there are some incredible episodes.
How long have we been talking about The Simpsons now?
I don't know, like 10 minutes. Whatever. So,
yeah, so that's what else we've been doing this month. What other stuff are we doing? I've had laryngitis, I'm out of work, blah-de-blah. We got awesome advent calendars. Joe got me this one from Thornton's with my name written on it. How cute is that?
I spent my entire lunch break. I took an extra long lunch break at work trying to find Gabe an advent calendar. You think advent calendars would be easy to find, but I was wandering around town for like half an hour before.
It was like the
I
day before they were supposed to be open, right?
Yeah. Well, still, you think, you know, a couple of days before then.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was impossible to find an advent calendar. I finally found this stall in a shopping centre that was a purely Christmas stall that was only there for a little bit, and they said, you know, I saw the advent calendar, it was Thornton's chocolate, which is really high quality chocolate. I thought this would be brilliant, and you can get your name on it, so I thought that's cool. But you got me a Doctor Who calendar with a Dalek on.
And I forgot to get you one as well.
You did.
Joe came home, he was so pleased with this calendar that he got me. And I was under the impression he was going to get his own this year.
You don't buy yourself an advent calendar.
People do.
That's
but
lame.
I don't know where I got it from. I was going to do the impression you were going to do that, okay? So I hadn't got you one, and Joe came home and he was like, where's mine? I was like, shit, I haven't got you one.
Whoops.
I had to go out the next day.
You pulled it out of the bag though, December the 1st. I mean, have we ever discussed on air why Daleks are a bit of a joke between us?
Why don't you explain it? I don't think we have.
It's kind of a thing. I mean, if you're either not from the UK or not a massive nerd, Doctor Who is a long-running sci-fi serial. The longest running in the world, by the way, so if you don't know what it is, shit on you. But yeah, there was an episode a while ago where they introduced a new era of the Daleks, and it was a big thing for Doctor Who fans, and it was in our last flat, and I was just doing the washing up and looking a bit, like, sceptical. And Kelly was looking at me sort of with the lovey eyes, and like, hey, Joe, what are you thinking about?
I didn't do that.
You did.
Well, you were looking sceptical, and I was just like, "What? I wonder what he's thinking about," because you were pulling this face like,
She just went, Joe, what are you thinking about? I went, Daleks. And she pissed herself laughing like, you're such a boy. Not a man, a boy. But I was thinking about the Daleks.
That was a brilliant thing.
Daleks are awesome.
What are you thinking about Daleks? It's like, I was supposed to know.
Okay.
What else has happened?
Oh, shit, those.
We've written down Christmas tree fail.
Oh, God, we put a Christmas tree up, but we didn't have any of the decorations, so we just put some lights on it.
So it's basically just this synthetic tree.
With about four lights on it.
It's not that... How big is it? Like, 3 foot? It's not that big at all. It's 3 foot. It's so small that if you put it on the floor, you wouldn't be able to see it, so we've had to put it on a table. And it's got just some fairy lights on it, and they don't even, like, stretch all the way around.
Looks good, though.
It looks okay.
Keep talking, I'm going to have a slice of my pizza.
Oh, what else have we done? Oh, it's snowed loads.
Fuck yeah.
For anyone who's not in the UK, it snowed shit loads. Like, for about a week, it just constantly snowed. It was so deep. We never built a snowman, though.
No.
Next time it snows, we're going to have to build something. Snowman's a bit cliche. I think we should build something else.
You need to do one of those giant footprints that was on...
It's been done. We need to do something.
We'll
awesome.
Do a better one. A giant velociraptor toe.
That might be it. Toe?
Footprint.
Oh, footprint, right.
You know what I mean?
Why would we do a toe?
Well, would he not do a toe?
What else has happened?
Nothing.
Our shower broke. That's about
it. Oh, yeah. We've had that. Do people care about the fact we've had to have the plumber in?
He fucking nicked our weed!
Yeah, he nicked our weed.
Oh my god, right. I got this, I got a 20 of weed, and this was it about 2 weeks ago, though. We had about 2/3 of it, and then the plumber had to come around to fix the shower, and I by accident left it out on the side. I just forgot about it. I didn't think to put it in a drawer or anything out of the way. So, like, we went out for a couple of hours, left him here to do his work. And when we got back, I didn't notice that it wasn't gone. But, like, today we were thinking, well, I'll fancy a joint before the podcast. Why not? I'll be a bit stoned for it. It had gone. Just literally searched everywhere, every possible place it could be. It's not there. So we're thinking, this plumber's fucking nicked our weed.
Because he's not like, we can report him to the landlord or the police.
Exactly, we can't ring him up and be like, did you take our weed? Because then he'll just tell our landlord that we smoke weed in the flat.
By the way,
sucks so
if
much.
Anyone official is listening to this podcast, the preceding comments were for comic effect only and may not reflect our actual lives.
Yeah, it's not a real story, it's just for a comedy effect. Just to sort of waffle it out of it.
Waffle out.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure all the Katie and Joe Guide to Relationships aficionados out there know exactly how the podcast works. Is that I do a lot of research, and I like to spring questions upon you and get your organic reaction.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy that promotes it and stuff. And you were feeling not left out.
Yeah, I was feeling kind of a little bit left out. I mean, it's not a big deal because, you know, you're really good at it. It was usual for you to, like, get the questions and the answers and stuff, and I was happy to just go along with it. But yeah. I felt like I wanted my own episode. I wanted to get the questions and answers. So this week I've done it, and my question, well, I say this week, I put this question out to people, like, over a month ago. The question I came up with was, how much do you think technology affects relationships?
Whoa.
Example, you know, like mobile phones, texting people, laptops, the internet, TV, etc. Okay, so I've got two answers from fans here. They're quite detailed as well, they're quite lengthy, but...
read them out.
Like you say, no, because you were saying, you know, organic answers and everything, so before I read these out,
okay, cool.
I want your answer first.
Alright. Hit me.
Well, that's the question.
What's the question?
How much do you think technology affects relationships?
I think that technology affects relationships...
You got some pizza in your day.
Cheers, baby. I think technology affects... people getting together a lot, because picture the scene, right? You're out at a bar, you meet a sexy lady, you get a number and her name, right? Is it more difficult to text her, or is it more difficult to add her on Facebook?
That's a good point.
I mean, I don't do this because...
You shouldn't be texting anyway. Be a man and ringer, surely.
Is it the 1980s, Katie? No, that's not how things work.
Isn't that a better way to do it?
It is a better
way to do
it.
You need to man up and ring her. Because otherwise, if you text her or add her on Facebook, it's just, for one, that's lame, adding her on Facebook before anything else. Texting, I don't know, it's a bit sort of, it's a bit impersonal. It's a bit sort of like lazy and it's not.
It's easier to test the waters, though, if you're, smear. You know what I mean? If you text a girl, like.
If you're insanely shy. I guess texting would be the way, but...
At least you forget how we met.
Well, we don't need to go into that today.
Okay.
So, have you got anything else on that question?
Yeah, I've got loads.
Go on, then.
So, Gemma Hot Tub Time Machine, the film.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he met a girl in the 80s when he was travelling back in time. And it was just like, what's your email? What's an email? Can I follow you on Facebook? What's Facebook? How do I find you? Just come find me. And she said, like, now he was like, that just sounds exhausting. That's the thing now.
It's true, though.
I mean, if you like a girl, you can stalk her on Facebook for a bit. You can find her interests. You can go and say,
exactly.
Oh, you like, I don't know, give me an example.
What? Orange,
you like
orange coloured shower curtains?
You were in that Facebook group, I heart all the orange coloured shower curtains. I'm in that Facebook group too. Oh my god. I mean, they're the best coloured shower curtains. My god, you're so bad. They're amazing, right?
Plus, if you're on a night out and she's like a friend of a friend, you know, you can lurk her on Facebook that way as well. You can go onto your friend's profile and, like, you can go through their friends and find her there.
Yeah, exactly. You can track her down.
Exactly.
It's a bit stalky, though. I remember talking to my mum, and she was on about how... you know, back in the 70s or whatever, they used to go to this pool hall, and there was a phone that was behind I mean, I don't remember the entire conversation. I'm sort of, I may be making some of this shit up. But there was like a phone that was like gold dust in this pool hall where they all used to go. And they used to phone, like, we're at the pool hall and come down, like, you know, to boys that they wanted to get down right there. And like, there was a public payphone. They had to put coin money in to phone and maybe talk to somebody's parents and say, you know, hello, is John in? Yes, he is in. Can you pass me to him, please? Oh my God, the awkwardness. Guns of this. And you actually have to leave the house to go somewhere to use a phone,
yeah, but
talk to a parent, talk to the...
You're forgetting, when we were young, this, we lived in that age, you know? I remember I had to use payphones and stuff, and I, you know, when I had to... Because I didn't get my first mobile phone until I was 16. Most of my friends got them when they were like 13, 14 or whatever. I got mine a bit late. But
I got mine a bit
but
late.
But still, you know, when you're a kid or a teenager or whatever, I had to, like, if I wanted to speak to a friend, I had to ring them up at their actual house and probably speak to their parents and be like, are they there?
I remember that. I remember.
And then you never know if the parent's listening in on another phone. Mobile phones are a godsend, really, aren't they?
They are, they're amazing. There was this time when, like, you know, we came back when I was a kid and we came back. And my brother, I don't know how old he was. I want to say he was like 8 or 9 or something. Maybe even younger, maybe like 7 or something. But we came back and one of his friends had... Oh, it's the most adorable thing ever. One of his friends had phoned up our house phone. And it's clear that his mum had said, no matter who picks up, just say, can I please speak to Sam Marshall? Okay. And then, you know, you'll be put through to them. But he phoned, and our answering machine came on. And because my dad runs his own business, it was the business answering phone. Like, hello, you're through to SJ Marshall, electrical contractor. But, like, the whole message went through. And then we got home, and we pressed the, you know, the button for new messages. Boop! We just heard this voice, this adorable little child. Can I please speak to Sam Marshall? Silence.
Oh, God!
Hello, can I please speak to Sam Marshall, please? Silence. Is Sam Marshall there? This kid like was basically breaking out in tears because he didn't understand that there wasn't someone at the end of the line. Heartbreaking. I mean, this was years and years and years
that
ago.
That is adorable.
It is. I still get a bit heartbroken. And then you hear his mum just go, hello, whatever, and just hang up the phone.
I was once dumped by voicemail. On my parents' house phone. It was the most embarrassing thing. Well, it would have been if I hadn't have got it first. But that was heartbreaking. I remember, because I was, like, really obsessed with this guy. And, like, I was waiting for his call, you know, and I had to go out. And I came back in and pressed the button, you know, boop, on this voicemail. One new message. Yes, it's from him. And now I got this heartbreaking message that was like, hey, Katie, we need to talk. You need to ring me back. And then there was a silence of probably about 30 seconds. And then after that, he was like, Katie had dumped. And then just put down the phone.
Really?
That was the message on my parents' house phone voicemail.
Jesus.
And I'm so lucky I got to that first, because I would have been so embarrassed if my mum had heard that. She probably wouldn't have told me about it to save my feelings.
So he said at the beginning, he was like, oh, we need to talk, being a good guy.
We need to talk, you know, you need to ring me. And then he probably thought twice about it and thought, fuck this, I can't be bothered to wait.
Yeah, in his mind he was like, oh, fuck it, no one's picking up.
I've got
another bimbo naked and tied up in the other room.
Hey! I was special.
Who would dump you? You're undumpable.
Well, this guy, clearly. He doesn't know what he's missing. Anyway, I think we strayed away from the question a little bit.
What was the fucking question?
The fucking question was, how much do you think technology affects relationships?
Oh yeah, shitloads. Next.
What do you think about, say, you know, like TV and the internet and stuff? Because, like, sometimes we can be sitting here all day, like, just watching TV with our
laptops. There are days when we didn't even talk to each other.
Exactly. Well, yeah, we talk to each other, but it's not as much as we should. Sometimes we don't even leave the house. We just sit here watching TV on our laptops.
No, I don't know. I think the law
was
listening to.
That makes it sound so lame, doesn't it?
No, I think...
We don't do that a lot.
No, we don't.
We do have lives.
But, you know, I think because we've been together for, like, 3.5 years, and we live together, we can't sit here every night having a constant stream of conversations. There's literally not enough stuff in the world to talk about. But when it comes down to it, when we have something, you know, if you go, Joe, you know,
We have some pretty good conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if it's just something funny that's happened to me at work that day. I talk about it when I'm cooking, or we interrupt The Simpsons to talk about it. If there's something we need to talk about, I don't think the technology influences that much. It's just when we're both bored and both have nothing to say, not to each other, but to anyone, we'll fill the time with technology, like everybody does.
I guess so. Do you think it's too much, though? Do you think people spend too much time, like, for instance, here's a scenario, you know, new couple, you know, they're quite nervous about it, you know, the girl goes around to the guy's house, you know, it's not like the first date or whatever, she's just going around to hang out with him, and they just sit there watching the TV, you know, because they're so nervous. It's like an excuse, isn't it, not to have to deal with it.
I don't know, the first time that we had sex, it was when Back to the Future was on in the background.
No, it wasn't.
What was it then?
Lock, Stock. And that wasn't even on in the background. We finished watching the film. It was bedtime by then.
Maybe I'm thinking of the second time
wow,
we had sex.
Wow.
I don't know. We've had sex so much it's difficult.
We do have a lot of sex. Let's edit that out just in case my mum's listening.
She's not listening.
Okay, so are you good with your answers?
Yeah, we should probably. We've done one question and we're only halfway through the podcast. So.
Well, that was the general question, you know, for everyone to answer.
Oh, right. That's okay.
We haven't got. We've got some questions from our fans to us. I haven't got to them yet. But let's hear the questions, the answers, sorry, to that question from listeners. We've got JR. JR says, kind of massively, it makes it a lot easier to say the wrong thing on an impulse. You don't have to wait to see the person. You can just text them and then immediately become consumed by regret. But on the other hand, sometimes technology can make it easier to say things that you want to say, but either don't get the opportunity or couldn't say in person.
That's a thing that I think about a lot. It's, well, not now, but when I was 17 or something, it was so much easier to connect. The real world was terrifying.
I know what you mean. Sometimes you're that nervous, it needs to be said, but sometimes you can't say it in person because it's just that terrifying that...
Yeah, and it's just so easy to just be like, hey, exactly. Look, we're on the internet, I'll just type the words. You say what you want to say. If you wanted to say it in real life, you'd have to force out every word.
Or you could write a letter, I guess. But
maybe, but God, you have to worry about posting. All you have to do is you type it out. You just have to press send.
I've been in so many of those situations where you want to say something huge to someone and you've been on like MSN or something. You've typed it out and you sit in there for like probably 5-10 minutes just like with your finger hovering over the enter button, like, oh
I
God.
Always do it as fast as possible. I mean, if there's a problem, I'm just like, right, let's do it, send it, boom.
But he goes on to say, it can help you get over the initial barrier. It can create an artificial distance between two people when there's no real reason for it to be there, but it can also dramatically reduce distances. Keeping in touch via Skype, for example, video chat is more personal than regular phone calls. So that's true.
That is definitely
I agree
true.
With that. Skype is brilliant. Especially because if you've got... it's like you and your cousin. If you've got relatives who live in a different country, like your cousin lives in New York, and, you know, we have that video chat with him on Skype.
Oh,
that was
God.
Great.
Every fucking Christmas, John, my uncle, phones up, or we phone him, and it's like, it's so awkward, and then they go, oh, William's on, I'll pass him to Joe, because they're only a couple of years difference in age, you know, I think he's either a year or 2 years younger than me. He's like, oh, we'll pass him over. And then we're like, hey, Will. Hey, Joe. What'd you get for Christmas? I don't know, some shit. Yeah, me too. Oh, I don't know.
I've had that.
When we were, like, Skyping together, we're like, hey, what are you doing? And Will's like, oh, dude, I'm so high now.
Oh, it's so much easier when you grow up, isn't it?
Yeah, when you've got
talk about. When you're a kid, it's more nerve-wracking to speak to someone you hardly ever see. It's like,
even if he phoned me right now, it would be so much more difficult. Skype, just because you can see them, it makes it easier.
I guess, yeah, with video chat is a lot easier. Because, like, when you're on the phone, I guess, you know, they can't see your facial expressions. A lot gets lost in translation, I imagine.
Exactly.
But we've got another answer here from Daniel Kitchen. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
He says, communication is always going to be the biggest issue in a relationship. If you don't communicate, you don't have trust. And if you can't trust people, then a relationship of any magnitude is going to fall apart. Nothing is quite as good as face-to-face interaction. hand-holding, smooching, and getting groovy, etc.
I love getting groovy with you, baby.
I love it too.
I mean, getting in your groove.
Highest of the five. That was rubbish. Give me another one. That was rubbish too. What's wrong with you?
There you go.
Watch my elbow. So, yeah, that was from Daniel Kitchen. Should we, have you got any comments on that, or should we move on? How long are we?
It's about halfway through. I think we should just keep on going. Yeah. I don't think we should have a cap on this episode, because it's been a month.
Well, that was only the first bit. We've got quite a bit to get through, so let's crack on. We have questions from the fans. We've got one from Daniel Kitchen, hey, again. He says, how would you approach an awkward subject that you feel may upset a partner? Example, previous bad experience, deceased relative, etc. Have we spoken about this?
I think we've spoken about something similar. Just my answer's going to be the same. The best way to do it
make
is...
Make jokes.
Yeah. I know it's a little bit cliche, but you got to test the waters. You got to say something a little bit related to it, engage their reaction. Mm. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Previous bad experience. Read the question again.
Yeah.
How would you approach an awkward subject that you may feel upset a partner? Example, you know, previous bad experience.
There's not enough information there. What kind of awkward
subject? Well, okay. Well, let's take that scenario. Previous bad experience. Like, say, for instance, bad sexual experience with a partner.
If it was a bad sexual experience, I think you just say it, because then that... Okay, say, like, this previous partner did something that you didn't like. You just say, oh, I had an ex-girlfriend that did blank. Then that girlfriend will know not to do it again. If you made previous bad experience about, like, I don't know, something horrible that happened in your past. I don't know, maybe...
Or like rape or something.
Yeah. God, maybe you should just say it.
Suck. I would not know how to handle that, to be honest. What do you say to someone who's been raped to calm them down?
I don't know.
It's like when you were at work, weren't you, and that girl came in.
No, it was, I was, you know, I work at the student services, and we had somebody come in to inquire about counselling, and I said, well, they said, I need some support. And I said, what's the problem? And I'll direct you to the correct support service. And they went, my flatmate's been raped. You know, I just break down. I mean, we've had girls in before who have been in tears. Women crying, I do not know how to deal with. I just freaked out. And just like, you know, I did the best I could, but... strangers telling you about this problem, it's just incredibly awkward.
Even friends, for me, like, I remember this guy I once knew who... He had a really bad past relationship where, you know, his girlfriend was using sex as a weapon, and she wasn't, you know, she was being really, really mean about it, you know, making him do things he didn't want to, etc.
Making him do things?
Yeah. And I really didn't know what to say to that. I mean,
what kind of things, though? Can you say that?
Well, no, he didn't expand on that. He just said, you know, she was using it as a weapon, and that's what he said. She made me do things I didn't want to do.
I don't know why, but I can't imagine a guy being in that situation.
I don't want to say too much about this guy, because I still know him.
I mean, my first girlfriend was not raped, but she said yes, but she was really drunk and really regret the day afterwards. And when we got together, you know, she was very... It took me ages to break down sort of like walls of intimacy between me and her.
It's good if you make the effort, though. You know, you should never like push anyone into anything.
But, I think if you've been sexually abused, you need a long-term partner to ease you into it.
Probably need professional counselling, maybe. You know, because it's not something a normal person would be able to deal with necessarily.
Oh no!
Shit, that's my beer.
You've knocked that over twice.
Oh, it's okay. It's empty. Well, I need another beer, don't I?
Just some wine?
Yes, please.
Let's pause the podcast! So, Katie, you got the next question, line?
Sure.
Yes.
Next question. Let's have a look. Morgan says... This isn't your friend Morgan, by the way. Do you think relationships between ugly people work better than relationships between silly?
I don't know. I mean, love is reserved for the attractive, like me and you.
Do you think Like, ugly people, you know, because they know they're ugly and they can't do any better. They go seeking other ugly people.
I do not know, because for any huge portion of my life, I've considered myself an ugly person. And I consider you as a gorgeous person.
Well, you're clearly not, man. Have you looked in a mirror?
I mean,
you're a handsome bastard.
Because I have a month off work, and when I go back to work, I might only have 2, maybe 3, maybe another month there at the most. I'm using the month that I have off the job hunt. Katie's doing the same, and she suggested earlier that I apply for a modelling job. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I think she was taking the piss. She was like, no, seriously, go for it, Joe. But, you know.
You're a good-looking guy, though.
Thank you. Am I, though?
Yeah. You've got that. You've got those rugged good looks with your beard and your nice, messy hair. I like it. There's a reason why I've got such a huge crush on Kurt Cobain. He looks a little tiny bit like you.
That makes me feel good. All right, fair enough. What was the question? Do or goes?
Yeah, do you think relationships between ugly people work better than relationships with fitties?
At the end of the day, I don't think ugly people exist, because...
Are you kidding me?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I read an interesting study recently. And it said that men have a very definite idea about attractiveness. And that's why there's a lot of pressure on women in the media to look a certain way, because men have this definite idea about what. But women like all varieties of men, basically. Unless they're, you know, greasy, bald, fat men.
Different guys like different things. That's how I've always been, you know.
Not as much even as women. I mean, according to science. You arguing with science.
Well, even if you're not conventionally good-looking, you know, there's going to be someone who finds you attractive.
Yeah, that's the thing.
There's no need to whine about it.
So I don't think there is, you know. I mean, there are people that are genuinely ugly. But that's just by society standards
of
being ugly. Like
Jocelyn Wildenstein, the Catwoman. Remember when we were watching that show about... Oh, no, it wasn't. It was on YouTube. I showed you that video of her. And she was like... We talked about it
the
last
plastic
time,
suit, yeah. Oh, God, terrifying. Woman. Terrifying.
Oh, God. She is terrifying. I think we're done with that question, aren't we? Next one is... The friend zone. Does it exist, or is it an excuse, as some way of telling yourself that you've got no chance, like the reality is that you're a pussy? If it does exist, how do you get out of it?
I have had first-hand experience of the awful, awful feeling of being in the friend zone.
Yeah.
When I was at school, there was a group of friends that I hung out with, and there was like a couple of couples, and then me... and 2 girls, and eventually one of the girls became a relatively long-term girlfriend, who's the first person that I was, you know, in love with. But before that, I was really into this exchange student from France, and we spoke...
French chicks are hot.
French people are hot. I mean, even the dudes are kind of hot, you know?
I agree.
Yeah, but she, like, didn't like me, but I really, really liked her. And, you know, I was in the friend zone for quite a while. And then we kind of had this couple of times that we kind of made out. And I thought of it a lot more than she did. You know, I think she was just drunk or lonely or missing home or whatever. There's a whole thing. And I've had other people that are like, you know, when you're in the friend zone, even a slight amount of attention from the person that you're in the friend zone with can seem huge. But if you're in that friend zone, boom, you are in that friend zone.
Yeah. I don't know. If you just drop the ashtray.
It's the third time I've dropped the ashtray tonight. It's a good job I'm going to Hoover tomorrow.
Yeah, once you're in the friend zone for good, it's not good, is it?
There might be
especially
a little...
Especially if you, like, majorly like them. Like, properly.
Yeah.
Maybe even love them.
There's always somebody losing in the friend zone. Mm-hmm. And I think if you find yourself in the friend zone, write them off. Don't try and make it
small. It's always so bad as well. If they're with someone as well, and you constantly have to hear about, you know, what they're up to with their relationship and stuff, you know, how much they love them and whatever. It's like, oh God, why isn't that me? You know?
Fuck that noise.
It can suck so much. I've been there.
Aww.
So, what was the actual question? Does it exist? Or is it an excuse? The reality is that you're fussy.
It exists, and if you're on either side of the... If you're on either sex, and you find yourself in the friend zone, the person that you like is a write-off.
Yeah.
End of.
You have to be... I don't know, would you ever tell them, speak to them about it? If they were in a relationship already?
No.
We just keep it friends.
Yeah.
Would they have to make the first move?
You've got to redefine the relationship. Because if you're in the friend zone, then you've already got to know the person. And if it would happen, it would happen. Yeah?
I guess so. Okay.
Some difficult shit.
Next question is... this is from Muldoon, one of our friends. He says...
Why don't you follow him on Twitter? He's only got like 2 or 3 Twitter friends, hasn't he?
Oh god, yeah, he's such a loser. He's hardly got any friends on Twitter.
I hate that guy. What's his name on Twitter?
He never posts about his top bands on Last FM at all.
Oh god, by the way, if you're on Twitter, do not say, "Oh, my top artists of this week." Nobody gives a shit.
Hey, Muldoon. See you on Sunday.
It's not just Muldoon. I've got like 5 friends that do that. Nobody... I do not care what you've been listening to this week. Because you're not famous. By the way, Muldoon's name is just Muldoon. So he actually has some interesting tweets. So if you want to follow him. It's Muldoon. Carry on.
And if you want to follow us, it's...
Well, we have a...
We have separate accounts. It's not related to the podcast, but if you want to follow us separately...
Joe with an E, Marshall JM.
Why do you always say with an E? You're not a woman!
You're a woman.
There are not people out there listening to this.
And what's your Twitter feed, Catherine?
Mine is KTKAD. Katie spelt with a Y.
Kitty Cad.
So that's if you want to follow us. So Muldoon says... This is more of a question for the ladies, actually. This is referring to when you're having sex. Slipping a finger up his bum. Is that a sign that he might be a little bit gay?
Definitely not, by the way, for the gay
That's
thing.
That's just pure pleasure. That's not because he wants to sleep with a man.
I think if you're, like, really incredibly open sexual, there may be a bit of the finger that we ask. Because apparently...
Well, that's where the male G-spot is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, like, the best orgasm ever.
It's just... I'm not opposed to it in principle. It's just that it freaks me out. I don't want things near my anus.
I'm just going to put it out there. We're not doing that.
No, never.
I'm not going anywhere near your ass.
Because, right, I mean, apparently the male G-spot is up the ass, but also the biggest sexual organ, according to pop psychology, is the mind. I don't want anything, because all I'd be thinking is...
According to Tantra, it's all psychological. You give yourself an inner orgasm without even coming.
We just watched Go last night. Have a look at it.
Oh, what a tense film.
It's a good film. It's a good Christmas film.
It's brilliant, though. The ending was a bit...
Yeah, a bit of a shit ending, but you know, it's a cool film.
It's really good. I've never been more tense.
No, I've never been more tense. It's all too much drugs and is he going to get shot?
Oh, no.
I can't believe she's been run over.
Hands in your face and heart. It's like, what is going to happen next?
But even if the G-spot was up the ass, right, and you were like, you lubed your finger up, there was no pain or anything, so you slipped it up the ass, I'd be thinking, oh, God, this is making me...
You got a finger up my ass.
Yeah, it's making me really uncomfortable. Oh, what if a finger smells? I mean, I haven't even, you know, I don't really like this at all. You know, even if, like, biologically it's meant to make you feel really good, the psychological element would freak me out.
No, they say if you want to do it, you're supposed to, like, you can't just stick a bare finger up there. You have to, like, put on, like, surgical gloves or something. Not surgical, you know those cleaning gloves? Those really thin latex ones.
Gloves, yeah.
Latex gloves. You have to use them. Because otherwise it's really, really, as I can imagine, unhygienic.
I bet it would be. God.
We're not doing that.
Do you know, if you were, like, gay, do you think you'd have to do some research? I mean, are there, like, not etiquette, because that's politeness, but it's the, like, medical protocol that you have to use for anal thing? Because you and I both know people, both know women who have shat themselves after engaging in anal sex.
Oh, God!
I can think of nothing more unerotic.
No, yeah, I don't know her anymore. She's definitely not going to listen to this, so it's okay for me to talk about it. She was feeling a bit adventurous with her boyfriend in bed one night, and he suggested, you know, do you want to do a bit of anal? So they tried it. He didn't even manage to go sort of like in, out, in, out. It was basically just like in, out. She shat the bed everywhere. Like, literally all over the bed. It was. she was telling this story and she described it as runny diarrhea.
Oh, God, that's so gross.
Like the bubbly kind. All over the bed. Can you imagine? I don't think they're still together.
Because that's the thing.
I think that might have been the thing that broke them up.
I think porn has conditioned me to think that anal, you know, it's dirty, it's kind of hot and sexy, you know.
But I don't think it would be.
What is that? What is the show?
It's hot in porn.
There you go.
That's the only thing it could ever be hot in. If you try and do it in your own home.
It's Californication, isn't it? Because me and Katie have watched. If you haven't seen Californication, it's a brilliant show about a writer who lived in New York and moved to California, and he's struggling with his relationship and a writer's block. And it's a very funny, sexy, and interesting show.
But it's brilliant.
It explores a lot of like metaphysical things. It's a brilliant show. But Marcy, who is one of the best characters ever,
the voice is Bobby.
The voice is Bobby from King of the Hill, and she's hot and cool and amazing. And I'm a little bit in love with Marcy, I'm not going to lie to you. But you're incredibly in love with Hank, so he can let me
out. He is hot. You know, I didn't think I fancied Mulder, but after seeing that, I kind of do.
There you go. But Marcy says, if your man wants the ass, offer him the ass, because as soon as he can have it, he won't want it. And I think, like, with me and you, I've always sort of joked about, like, you're like, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? And I've been
anal.
Like, anal, obviously. I just, like, imagine if you had anal and you shat yourself, right? I don't think I'd look you in the eye for a month.
Imagine if that happened, how embarrassing.
Terrible.
If we finally got around to doing it and I shat the bed. That.
Or even it just smelt a bit. I mean, if my cock smelt
no,
shit,
let's
that's not
skip
sex.
Skip past this, this is gross.
So yeah, guys, leave anal to the porn stars. Or people that
yeah,
have
if you want to see
regular
some anal.
Anal enemas.
You know, in like sex shops, you can get like asses, can't you? With like assholes that you can fuck.
Yeah.
If you want to do anal, just do
get
that.
Get one of those.
It'd be less messy, guys, I swear. I think we're done with that question, aren't
yeah.
we?
I don't think it mentioned anal in the question. We just rocked that shit out. So.
Now, on my page here that I've made for the podcast of things to talk about, I've put interesting notes made during the month. During the week. This is the week that I made the notes. Well, this is in relation to the how much does technology affect relationships? I was sitting at the table. Well, do you remember this? This was about a month ago. I was typing out the questions that people were giving us, and you were trying to watch something. You were getting annoyed at me because I was typing too loudly. So I chucked some orange peel at me, and it hit me in the head, and I raged out at you. So
we were finding orange peel around the flat for.
So
about a month afterwards.
So I raged out at you and chucked it back, and it hit the TV, and the TV almost fell backwards, and you were like, "That almost hit the TV! What if it had broken? Then what would we do?"
What would we do? All we do is watch TV and do this podcast.
And I think that sums up that question. What would we do without TV? Converse.
Oh, I hate talking to you. You're boring.
So that was my note made for the week. Now we've got some Yahoo Answers.
All right, hit me.
Okay, let me just open this one. Oh, so this one is... the title is, will this cause problems with me and my husband?
Yes.
And my friend?
Next.
Okay, so this is quite a long one. I'll just give you the summary. Basically, this woman, she's got a husband. Her best friend that she grew up with, she moved out of the country, but her friend is coming back to visit. It's also her husband's 30th birthday. She said to him, "You can have anything you want, okay, no limits." He said, "Can we have a threesome with you and your friend?" And she wants to know, will this cause problems for our marriage?
I think it would, right? Because I think...
Cause it sounds like she might be considering it, but she's feeling a bit sort of like, maybe I shouldn't.
I kind of think of it as like throwing a stone into a pond, like it would just ripple out in your entire relationship. I just, do you remember the argument that we had early in the week? Can we talk about this on the podcast?
I don't know what it was about. Whisper it to me.
Walking back from Asda.
I'm still angry about that.
Can we talk about this or not?
It's fine if you want.
Because I said...
I want to get angry again.
Can we talk about it? Just say yes or no.
Fine, go for it.
I said, imagine there was a billionaire that came up to either one of us and said, you've got to sleep with me once and I'll give you like £6 billion.
Hang on. It's a guy.
Well, it's either, I mean, it's a guy if it's you, it's a girl if it's
right,
me.
Right, okay.
And, you know, okay, so let's, for this example, say that it's me. A girl, a billionaire girl came and said, I'll give you £6 billion if you sleep with me once. And I asked you, I said to you, I ask you, and you said it was okay.
But I wouldn't.
That's the thing, yeah,
my answer to that was, I would be offended no end if you even had to ask me that question, and I would have to, like, dump you on the spot.
And I was a little bit shocked that it was for billions, but after talking to you about it and thinking about it for a while, it would be the same thing, wouldn't it? It would be the ripple effect. I mean, it doesn't seem like a big deal, just like a one-off
even,
nobbing, but...
Even if I had said, yeah, fine, if it's for $6 billion, and you'd have done it, but we'd still have to live our life thinking, you slept with that girl.
Exactly.
Know?
I can never understand couples that break up and then get back together. Because the reason that they broke up will echo through their entire relationship.
I know, something someone said to me once, if it didn't work the first time, what makes you think it's going to work the second time?
Exactly.
And that's always stuck with me. I just think that's so spot on.
I think if you break up, end of. If you break up once. Because those problems aren't going to... If you have problems enough to break up, they're not going to go away.
I know I've been in that situation. It's kind of terrible. I mean, I'm not going to say who it is, but one of my ex-boyfriends, we were together for a while, then we broke up. Then we broke up and got back together like probably 5 or 6 times, and by the end of it, we were just so exhausted and angry about the situation, we just had to call it a day. There was no point in getting back together at all. It was just so heartbreaking.
That makes me
should
sense.
Have just stayed apart.
A friend of mine is breaking up with his girlfriend at the moment, and he says he feels really bad about letting it go, because the situation is that she feels more strongly about him than he does about her, and he's really, really worried about being the bad guy in the situation. But he's the good guy in that situation. If she doesn't feel that, if she's feeling a lot more strongly, it's so much better to cut it off early than to continue. And because if you continued, you'd be stringing her along, and arseholes string people along. Do you agree?
Some people stay... Yeah, I do agree. Some people stay with their partner just because they don't want to be alone. Like, they're scared of being alone.
That makes me weird and sad.
I know, that's the saddest thing ever.
This isn't a funny episode, is it?
It's not funny enough.
We have a funny intro.
Fuck it, just do it and let the ripple thing happen. Okay, so the next question is... the title is, how do I be... this is... very poor grammar. How do I be more open and trusting? That isn't poor grammar, actually, is it? I don't even know. Anyway, she says, I was brought up by a cold mother who didn't offer much affection.
What temperature was she? Like 4 degrees? Kid is hating me. Carry on with the question.
She also took advantage of me financially. The end result was... I'm very wary of people, and I don't want to get close to anyone. I'd really like to show my soft side, but I can't seem to tear that down the wall. I'm afraid I don't even know how to show affection to the ones I love, since I didn't really have much of a nurturing family. So, obviously, her question is, how do I break down that wall if I find someone new?
You should really, I think it's easier than you think to separate your upbringing from your relationships.
Not necessarily for some people. This is all she's had to grow up with, you know? She hasn't got a good example to go on.
I read something, this is going to be a bit of a long way round to my point, but recently I tried to change my sleeping pattern. Right. I tried to do what's called a biphasic sleeping pattern. So I would sleep for 6 hours between 1 and 7, and then I have an hour and a half nap sometime in the day. And it went really, really well. It was going well, but it was difficult for both me and Katie for me to stay up late when she went to bed, and I gave it up today because, you know, I want to go to bed with my girlfriend and wake up with my girlfriend. But the point is, when I was reading about how to do this on the internet, it said it takes 28 days to form a habit, right? And I think I don't think it takes that long to separate yourself from your upbringing. I mean, I think people really held on to their upbringing and defined themselves in that way. But it's easier than you think to cast that off and become someone new. And I don't think you really... I think if you find someone that's right for you, no matter how difficult it is to break down those barriers, I think it's easy if it's someone who's right for you. That's not funny or even slightly funny at all, but that's just what I believe.
Fair enough. No, I agree. That's a good answer.
Pause. By the way, talking about upbringing, can I moan about my mum?
Is this still recording?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, okay.
God, right. So me and Ken have been in this flat for a while.
Well, we've been here for... It'll be 2 months exactly tomorrow.
Right. So, you know, you guys will remember, if you're a long-time fan, about me talking about winning that money recently, which is brilliant because me and Katie are out of work for a month, so that's basically just paid for our rent for now. But I haven't spoke to my mum because I've been busy. We've had our pipes have exploded.
You got food poisoning for a week.
Food poisoning for a week. Katie's had laryngitis for a few weeks. And the whole thing. I just haven't... Phoning my mum's been the last thing on the list. I finally phoned her today, and she just yelled at me, just like, you know, Joe, because I had to, after me and Katie left our old flat, we moved, obviously, if you guys know, as you know this, but we moved to Spain for a little bit. It didn't work out. We didn't have any money. We both had to move back to our parents for two months,
I think, yeah.
For about 2 months. And my mum said, oh, Joe, we put you up. We did the best that we could. Like, it was a huge thing for me to meet. Like, they really didn't want me there. Like, it was a huge inconvenience. And then she was moaning at me for not sharing this huge thing in my life that I'd won £1,000. And I was like, I'm sorry, just... I have told her about it, by the way. I did tell my mum about it, but she forgot that. And then, like, she was moaning, like, I can't believe you didn't share such a huge thing in your life. Oh, you know, you should tell me things. Oh, by the way, me and your dad went to Germany recently. I didn't get a phone call about them moving to Germany. What the hell, you know? Mums. Bit of a drunken rant at the end of the podcast.
I like my mum.
Well, do you have more?
I have one more question.
If we're quick, we can fill it.
Okay, if we're quick. This one is a quick one, actually. It says, well, this is a question for girls. Well, it's aimed at girls because it's a guy. No, because it's a girl. But anyone can answer this. What do you do if a guy wants to have sex all the time? And she goes on to say, you know, the sex is great. I love it. I love him. But he just seems to want it all the time. Like, you know, several times a day. And I don't think I'm up to it. And I don't know how to tell him that I can't do it. I just do it anyway. But I don't know how to tell him that I'm not up to it anymore.
I
just tell him.
Yeah. It's difficult, though.
Well, say to him, I don't want to have this much sex. It's killing me.
That's a difficult thing to say to somebody. Like, if you say, like, you've got to say, it's not that I don't enjoy our sex. It's not that I'm not in love, you know, not in love. Yeah, it's not that I don't enjoy our time together.
It's just a bit too much.
Yeah.
He'll understand if he likes her that much, and if he doesn't, fuck him.
Because, like, me and you have had conversations with other people, and, like, sex drives...
Sometimes, yeah, exactly.
Are different. I mean,
some people can have a higher sex drive than others, and it can be a bit tricky in situations.
Exactly.
Relationships.
I think it's just, you've just got to talk about, like, when we
how much they like each other, because if this is really gonna if this is gonna make him like really frustrated and he's gonna start getting like angry and impatient and stuff, then maybe they weren't meant to be.
Here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna say, first of all, you're gonna start by bigging up how brilliant the sex is. You're gonna talk about it for like 5 minutes, just how good it is and how you can't physically walk after the sex, and then say, it's so good, I can't have too much of it. It's like cheese.
Stop treating me to so much sex. Or go and buy one of them plastic asses on the pawn shop.
Because anal's awesome. Highest of five. Is there more? Is there another question?
No.
We kind of got to wrap it up.
Oh, I don't think so. All right, let's have a look then. Yes, that was the last question. So, next part is hypothetical question for next week, which is yours. You came up with this.
Okay, guys, because it's almost Christmas, and I'm hoping to get this out so we can talk about it before Christmas. But if you're in a relationship, when should you stop having Christmas with your parents, and when should you start having Christmas at home with a partner?
Good question.
So, yeah, Keddy, this is your episode. Do you want to do the plugs and everything?
Yeah, if you want to get your question, your answers in, it's kayleeandjoecast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search for Kaylee and Joe. And you can also find us, where else? Oh, kayleeandjoe.co.uk.
All the links are there.
Yeah. Is that it?
There's
I don't know how
something
many places we've got.
That anonymous place?
You can find us on Twitter as well. We've given you our Twitter names. So, yeah. I guess that concludes another Kaylee and Joe Show episode. Hopefully,
we'll do it next week.
Hopefully, in this next week, there's not going to be any more nightmare drama to deal with, so we'll be able to post next week as well.
Nice one. So, this is Joe
and Kaylee
signing off.
Auto-tune!